What is going on, sexy mofos? Today is a wonderful day in San Francisco because we're out of town. This is Farghini, Pedro, Alejandro, and let's talk about Carzio. Hit it, Pedro. Is that like a Mexican small erection firework sound?
That was a very weak missile, whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was
Pedro.
No. That was like a test fire.
It was that's, like the guy from eHarmony.
That's what you call setting it up.
Okay.
And then fixing it in post.
Oh.
So there's going to be a
atomic bomb.
And then all of a sudden you'll have just an explosion okay. for days. You know all about it.
Are we talking about diarrhea?
Yes, exactly. We're not talking about like crossing the Balboni line of terrorism.
I'm just making sure talking about that.
Well, if there are different explosion sounds, I could tell you which one's the most realistic one. So,
no, you can't because you grew up in Santa Monica, motherfucker.
Now we know why he likes the pop, pop, pops.
Of course.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Sorry that this podcast is late this week. We've had a lot going on. Farsha and Alejandro have pinworms, so we've been dealing with that. I'm sorry. Ivan, I'm sorry.
Why are we skipping Ivan?
Yeah.
I'll include Ivan and give him the option to edit it out.
Everyone's like, you guys went to Mexico. What was the most beautiful thing you got out of it? Pinworm. We got the worms. I don't know how that happened. So
News is I got my own hotel room out of it.
Well, this trip became really more expensive once we found out that
these
were all sick.
Worms are fucking everything up.
Yeah, destroying us.
So I thought we would start off something personal.
Yeah, thank you. I think that worked out pretty damn well. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And another thing, before we actually get started, I apologize for the audio. We are working off of a camera mic. We don't have our podcast equipment with it, but we're doing whatever we can to continue to bring content to you, whether it sucks or not.
And most likely this will totally not suck. You thought I was going to fucking talk shit about my own work? Get the fuck out of here.
All right, so hopping into the personal topic, I want to talk about cars that we've owned. How many cars have you owned, and can you even name them?
I prepared myself for the fucking first time ever to one of these questions. Uh-huh. So I want to be the last one to answer this one because the number was fucked up.
I think we should wait, actually, for yours anyways, because once you start, the podcast will...
The question is not
list every single car you ever owned.
No,
what
how
you
many
thought
cars?
About each one of them, okay?
No, how sure. many cars?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So
worry about it. Farshad, how many cars have you had?
A lot, actually.
You
a
have?
A lot of cars. I used to flip cars. Like, I've had a lot of cars.
Okay, a lot isn't a number.
Come on.
30, 40 cars? Oh, no, not 30, 40. 25 cars, maybe?
Wow.
That's a lot of cars.
That is a lot of cars.
That is a lot of cars.
I've had five.
Five cars?
No, I've had six.
You were not counting the smart.
I was not counting the smart, exactly. Baby blue Ford Explorer, Nissan Frontier, Chevy Suburban, Mercedes C320, S-Class, Ford Escape, two Ford Escapes. Okay, I'm at seven. Electric Smart, eight cars.
We're already at like 13, Sorry, I'm 14, eight. We're at 18.
Okay.
Eight cars.
Eight.
Okay. Yeah.
Fucking ballers. That's Take it. A guess.
How many cars you've had?
Yeah. And I don't have an exact number. I stopped at a certain number and said I'm not going to try to remember more.
I would say 140.
No. No, that's way too much. That's way too many cars.
Way
Get
too
the
many?
Fuck out of here. Yeah.
75.
Over 60. I stopped at 60. Yeah, but I don't know if I'll get to 75.
Oh, you'll easily get to that.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. If I like really go back and start, like because I started, I didn't go in order or sequence or anything because once I said like, I have this. Oh, wait, because I had three of those.
Right.
I had this. So even the Jetta, my first car that I ever had was a Jetta. I had three of those. Don't ask me why.
I got three
Don't
who buys
things?
Three Jettas?
Listen, things happen. Things go up and down.
Who buys three 918s?
I only had two though. But yes, absolutely.
We're seeing a pattern here.
Listen,
the Volkswagen. Your very Volkswagen brand. Brilliant.
I am Mexican. What do you want me to do? You saw, you guys saw how many VWs were in Mexico.
Oh, it was.
How many VWs were in Mexico?
There was a VW Jetta, with a, and then there was a VW
the Polo,
Jet,
and then the Gold, the Golf, the Gold, the G, the
Veneta.
They're selling you now. The Golf has like five cars: the G, the GO, the GOL, the GOLF.
I swear there was.
GOLF,
I swear
the GTI.
I swear there was a car. It was a Volkswagen like Golf, but it was the GOL.
The Gol. Because, oh yeah, you didn't go to Mexico. I'm sorry.
The F fell off.
No, that's what I told him too. When I saw the car, and then I go, no, that's not a fucking Golf. Yeah.
So there's a Golf, and then there's a Golf.
Goal.
A Golf?
Yeah, yeah. No, this is why the
goal!
Joke.
I, goal.
And that was the first joke I made when I saw it too. I'm great. Margini just high-fived us for no reason.
I think Farshad's still on edge from the drone situation.
Oh, yeah.
He's still scared. Yeah, before starting the podcast, by the way, we had a drone. Pedro was like, oh, yeah, let's take a selfie with a drone here in the room. I don't know why Farshad decided to film it, and things just went south, and the drone attacked all of us.
I cannot believe I got that on video.
It was fucking madness.
It was. And like I said in the video, always calibrate your drone before flight.
Always calibrate it. I said to myself that I had way too many cars for no fucking reason whatsoever. Because you go back, and it's like you said, why three Jettas, right? You know how many CLs or S-Class coupes I've had? Five, dude.
I actually think that's amazing. That's not a
No, because I could have just gotten one.
No, no, but do you not love them? But do you not love them?
S-Classes, I've had six.
Do you not love them?
Love them to death.
But if you have the means to have it, you love them.
G-Wagons, we've had four. And on Monday, we're going to see if we're going to add a fifth one.
What? Why?
I don't know. We'll talk about
it. Hold on.
We'll talk about it Monday.
What is going on?
Monday we'll talk about it. But
these worms are really fucking you up.
They really are. We're adding a lot of worms. No, I bought a lot of cars that I bought the same shit afterwards because I thought, you know what, I'm going to save some money. No, I really want the baller car. Yeah, the baller car is the way to go. You know what? No, the cheaper way. And also the lineup keeps changing, right? So now the new regular like S550, I think it's so fucking phenomenal that you don't need to get a 63.
Right.
But I had gotten two of the new 63s or three already. I mean, it's fucking crazy. So again, it's just stupid rant.
So out of the 1 million cars that you've had, what was your least favorite? I'm curious to find out of
my
these
least
cars,
favorite least, car that I've ever favorite. Owned?
Yes. What has brought you the most displeasure?
Fuck, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think I've ever gotten a car where I'm like, ugh, I need to fucking get rid of this. I hate it.
What? Stumped. So you truly love cars.
I really have no car where I said, like, I'm telling you, even the Smart, I fucking love that car. I'm sad that it's leaving.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything that I... Oh, you know what? The SLK. That was really embarrassing.
Oh,
it was really embarrassing to own an SLK.
Was it embarrassing then or embarrassing now?
No, it's super embarrassing now. Embarrassing now because I thought I was a man when I had it.
Yeah.
That, this might not count though. Because
yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, because at the time, it's how you felt at the time.
Yeah, I thought I was the most bullerific motherfucker
but it did what
in
it
the world.
It did what it needed to do for you.
Yeah, it's like when I was in high school, I used to think that wearing a polo with a sweater vest over it was really cool and awesome.
You were Mexican in high school?
Hey, looking back at it, I'm really disappointed in the decisions that
just
I made.
Don't tell Rodrigo this. I hope Rodrigo's not listening to this podcast because he definitely does not wear a polo and a sweater on top of it like that.
You know, I want to talk about this for a second because you got on this. Rodrigo is a very classy gentleman. Mm-hmm. I would say Rodrigo is probably a Ferrari driver. Am I right? Would you say that
Rodrigo has the appearance and everything of a Ferrari driver, but Rodrigo is my only friend that ever since we were kids was the one saying, I'm skipping the Ferrari, I'm going straight to the Lamborghini when I have one. He really said that.
The reason I say that is because on Instagram, the posts he's been making lately, when you see him walk, when you see him posting a picture with his sweater, like it's... His cardigan is perfectly laid across his shoulders.
It's years of experience. But the thing is, Ferrari drivers dress up a lot like Mexicans, or like the Mexican uniform, which is what we call, right? Like the jeans with the... It's the preppy shit that you see. So yeah, that's why you see that. And speaking of preppy shit, because I was just thinking preppy equals to quail equals to Geneva.
Wow, you went... You stretched the connection to make this transition. Like,
I did.
Really
I did.
Far.
I thought it was pretty good. Was that not a great transition?
It was awesome. You lost me twice and then you brought me back.
Good. Good. Perfect. Okay. That's what I was going for.
But speaking of a lot of confusion going on.
Wow, you just transitioned out of his transition. That's amazing.
I took a transition and made another transition.
You just good. Stole your transition.
We're doing great.
So speaking of a lot of confusion and things going on, people are wondering why we didn't go to Geneva, why we weren't there, because this had to have been one of the biggest like showings in Geneva in a
no
long
doubt.
Time.
No doubt, no doubt.
Right? Like it was something I was really looking forward to and hoping that there was going to be some last minute situation.
And the amount of technology that I've never heard of before anyone ever doing that they announced was incredible.
Oh, in Geneva, everyone.
It's just like the technology. So I've heard some tech, like perpetual motion machines and stuff. It was like amazing. I'm like, I can't wait for that to hit the road.
No. Farshad, we're not talking about the Geneva sex show.
Oh, no, wait, what? No, I thought we're not.
We can't. The Geneva sex show is not ideal for the conversation
we're
having.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
This is our podcast about food. This is our podcast about food.
Not the perpetual motion machine.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Gosh.
Geneva was fucking incredible this year. All the reveals and all the announcements. Number one, I mean, first things first, you're about to have a baby. So
yes,
you would have never been able to come with us, and you guys saw what happened in Mexico.
Yeah, so we talked about it, me and my wife. Our son, his due date is March 21st.
Yeah.
But we've been getting the feeling that he's going to come early, and there's even a chance that he's going to come this weekend once we see the doctor, or once she goes and sees the doctor tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on our original due date that, if we go to Geneva and we're back by the 10th or 11th, everything will be fine. And then things started moving forward, and I kept telling you, I was like, dude, I don't know. I don't know. I'm getting a little worried. Like, if I go to Geneva, being that far away, if she goes into labor, like, it's just really difficult. Because, guys, there's one thing that I have to tell you. If your wife goes into labor, or your girlfriend or significant other goes into labor, you better be there.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you don't, you will feel the wrath of hell. Like, yeah, you may be sitting there for 10 hours doing nothing and whatever, but she just wants to know that everything is going to be okay, and you better be there to tell her. So that is
like, yeah, it's like, he's like, you may not even know her, you just met her. But, 10 months, but like, you got to be there.
But you got to be there no matter what.
This is the time where you get to learn.
That's the one time you got
to
be in
something.
But
also, you get to learn who this person is. Do you know what I mean? You get to spend such amount of time with them.
I guess 10 hours in a row.
But long story short, that was one of the reasons that we didn't go. And then we also have a lot of things that we're working on right now.
Well, I think without saying anything, we're at a point right now in what we're doing that we're about to transition into several other areas. And we had to do so many things so that we can get started on all those other things, that going to a show in Geneva where we're just going to sit behind cars and do reveals and talk to you guys about the same content that everyone else is bringing you would set us back right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
100% would set us back. Like, it's, don't get me wrong, I mean, it's so incredible. All the shit that got announced there, dude, there's so many cars that I just want to see in person already that were there. But we just can't miss out on pushing this forward the way we have to with everything that we got going on, too. Just for cars that are sitting on a showroom. We can talk about them right here. What's the difference, you know?
Yeah,
the other guy's got the video. But let's face it. I personally hate asking for things. And I hate going to the booth and being like, hey, guys, you mind letting me in first so that I can get... I'll never do that. Like, I'll show up, and if a friend goes, you want to go into the Ferrari thing? You want to go into this? I'll say, yes. That'd be great, thank you. But I won't go and ask. I hate.
But another way to look at this is what we're working on right now will actually very soon give us the ability to actually go test these cars and drive these cars and actually go to amazing places.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's why we're focusing on that right now, to be able to do the real deal stuff and not just look at a static, you know, 720. We just take, you know.
Yeah. It'll be like completely different, and in completely different ways than from what you see right now in any car channel. So that's what we're trying, and this is why we miss Geneva. Even though we're gonna talk about it right now, because I am dying to just let everyone know my pointless point of view on everything. Everyone's like, "Yeah, I'm dying to not hear about that."
Every day, I get to hear it every day.
Oh, I'm sorry, Farshad.
So if you're so excited, let's hop right into it. Like, what is the favorite things that came out of Geneva this year to you? What was the favorite thing?
I mean, there's so many cars, so many fucking cars. But overall, I think the theme right now that we're seeing, which is and came out of Mercedes's mouth when they're when talking about their hypercar. They said, we don't want to give you the most complicated, complex machine to drive. We want to bring F1 and make it accessible with a push of a button for you. Just get in the car. And that's what they're saying. It's pointless to us to get in here and tell you 290, 200, 300 miles an hour and fucking mega speeds. And the car, you just can't use it here. You can't use it there. You can't use it. They want everyone to use that and experience that on the street. And I love that. Love that. Love that. So with that said, the things that excited me the most about Geneva right now, it's all those cars that will do that. Right?
Of course.
I mean, fuck, man. There's a humongous list. The 720S. Oh.
A beast.
Okay. Each one. What are your thoughts, Fargini, on the 720S?
I'm sorry. I just...
I want you to tell me what you told me last night. Say it.
Okay. So you love that car because of the geeky tech that's built into the aero and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
And the way... My impression is the way you enjoy a McLaren is at extremely high speeds and at precision.
That's right.
Which is the stuff that I don't really give a shit about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
After experiencing the AMG GTS, like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I'm at. So the McLarens don't really do it that much for me. Like, it's cool that they did all the aero stuff.
It doesn't get you like, oh.
It really does not. They're cool cars, amazing company, but it just...
It doesn't do it for you.
It does not do it for me.
What about you?
I am so excited. I am so excited for the 720S. All the technology, everything that's going on with it, the advancements that they're making, you're seeing it with every single car that they put out. Like, there's not a stale car that they continue to put out. Yeah, some people don't like the design, but it's honestly one of those things that you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between.
Can I tell you how obscene it is that people are saying that, and how ridiculous it is that no one's pointing out how... Hang on. You know what? Finish your thought and then I'll...
Yeah. But I'm sorry. What you're about to say is exactly what's going to happen when we start talking about the Wire Roadster, and I just want to preface that ahead of time. But with the 720S, I love the shorter snout. I love the length and the way that the aero works through the car. I love the lines. People hate the lights. I love them. I think the lights look amazing. And the doors are fantastic on that car. Like, it's just, it's madness.
How
man.
Beautiful are those it, doors?
It is,
They're the
it
most
is,
beautiful doors.
It is 100% an homage and a mini F1,
yeah.
In my opinion. You know,
If you look at the car like three quarters from the front, if you eliminate the front and just from the side, to the back,
yep.
After the front wheel, all the way to the back, that looks identical to the F1.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. Do you guys love the lights purely because of the way they look, or because you know there's aero?
Look and the performance.
I love that they're the first ones going like full blown performance on those lights. The Hellcat had like the light that was missing so that the air can go through, and some other people have done a little bit of that. But these guys were like, we're gonna chop the shit out of this. There's no. You know what they said? There's no cookie cutter bullshit in this car. Here's the fucking hole. We're going to use that hole and give you like a thin line of light.
Yeah.
And the rest will come with all the air that comes into the car. And just looking at that and knowing that there's so much air that'd be going into the front of the car.
Yep.
Knowing that there's that massive wing on the back and the side vents, the way they open. Because the air on this one is, I want to say it's kind of like the opposite of the ACR with the where the pieces are gone. It's got more pieces on top, but it's protected because of where the air is coming from, if that makes any sense. And that just gets my dick hard as fuck.
Do you know that they worked on the aero for like 18 miles an hour? Is there any solution for that?
No, but that, I know.
No, man, serious question. Is there aero for 18 miles?
Probably not.
Okay.
No, but they thought of everything with this car. Like, they made it to be a performance vehicle. Like, I mean, that's
fuck
exactly
yeah.
what it is. From the dash to the see-through C-pillars behind you.
So important, because you don't understand how much visibility that opens. Even though it's a tiny amount of space, that's everything that blocks you from the sight when you're driving one of those cars. On a Huayra, you can't see, at least on my coupe, you couldn't see shit on the back.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I'm really excited to see this car in person.
Yeah.
Like, that's one car I'm disappointed that we didn't see. But you know what? There's going to be so many great things to come out of this thing.
Oh,
like,
hell
it's,
yeah.
It's going to push challenges forward against other cars. The competition is going to continue to rise.
I know McLaren put out some numbers. And the numbers are obviously incredible for just like a middle range mid-engine car. But dude, I think just by looking at that fucking card, that's going to be the king of the hill right now. And he's not going to be even fucking close.
Can I ask you this question?
Yes.
720S comes out.
Yeah.
You drive it, you're like, holy shit. Would you trade in
LT
for it?
No, I'd buy a 720S.
And in the LT?
And keep my LT.
Wow.
Because
wow.
I think the LT is going to be that. It was that first car that they made without a battery that was fucking solid from A to Z. And don't get me wrong, the 650S is a great car. A lot of mechanical issues known about those cars. But the car itself is fucking incredible when it works.
Right.
But the LT is just perfection. They just got that car, the 650S.
They dialed it in.
They, like you do it, how's that? The mwah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That, they finished it like that. So if a 720S would come, like I bring it on the side.
I can't wait to see some MSOs on that one.
Just
imagine just a little bitty hood scoop right there on the top.
Don't you fucking go there.
Just imagine it.
Nope, I'm not gonna do it.
It's amazing. And then we also have the BP23 that's gonna be coming soon. So there was no reveal from Geneva on that or any discussion.
The BP23 is for those guys, that don't know it. The BP23 is the three-seater, the homage to the F1.
That's what it's called? What it's called?
Yeah.
The BP23. That's the
real catchy code name.
Yeah.
Beep, beep.
BP23.
Oh, wow.
It's gonna be fucking epic.
But it's gonna have a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did you guys love?
Pagani Huayra Roadster. You cannot not love the design. We talked about that car already a million times. I think everyone shit themselves when they saw it in person, right? That was a reaction from everyone. Holy shit, he's beautiful. And then the other 50% of the reaction was like, holy shit, Alondra, you were right. Yes, guys, I'm not here to say I was right, but I was.
Is this about the bet?
Yeah, guys, okay. I'm sorry.
I honestly don't even remember how much do I owe, do I even owe?
It's a $5 bet.
And we're also in San Francisco, so the statute of...
Oh, the zip code law.
Yeah, zip code
law. I remember that. Yeah. So you guys don't owe me anything because of zip code law. God, I'll go back to LA and remind you that.
So I'm going to be that guy.
How do you feel
about it? I'm probably the only guy in the world. I hate it.
Why?
I hate the Huayra Roadster.
Why?
To me, it's not exciting. Like I just don't like it.
Well,
like there's something about it to me that I just don't like. Like I feel like that there's a little bit of CGT to it. There's a little bit of the old Huayra to it. There's a the lines.
Well, they went a little Zonda on it. They wanted to add more of the squareness of the Zonda because the Huayra had such fluid lines.
But what's new about it? What is groundbreaking and changing about it? They just cut the fucking roof off and changed a little bit on the back.
The groundbreaking technology on that car is the carbon fiber that they used. Or that they will be using.
Okay, they have a cool material that they make. But what else is it going to do?
No, but it's a... It's not a car that's groundbreaking. It's not. And listen, even though Koenigsegg on the other side is making cars that go like a fuck ton miles an hour and like kilometers, super high speeds, and like engineering wise, it's crazy. Pagani's not about that. They're about design. They're about making beautiful cars.
So design. If they're making beautiful cars, if they did not use carbon fiber, if they did not use this awesome way of doing carbon fiber, and they just used a regular bent, and same lines, everything.
No. I'm not going to take that away from it. Like, yes, 100%. That helps the car a lot.
Wait, but the thing is, if they're putting carbon fiber in it and it's not putting out numbers, what is the point of the carbon fiber?
No.
What I'm saying is it's a showpiece. If it's a showpiece and an art piece, and the carbon fiber is the big like ticket about it, like you take that carbon fiber away and it's just a regular, you know, tub or whatever.
Right.
Like, what's left of it? Right. Like, is it still the design? Is it still going to be that great?
It's aging. By the way, it's aging and getting a little.
And maybe that's what it is.
I think right now the wire is going through what the Zonda went through the end of its life, where people were like, "Yeah, it's cool, but it's not like super cool." And then it's going to become a classic, like visually. Yeah.
I think so.
I think that's where the wire is going.
Excitement's expired.
I think that's what it is for me. Like your Huayra that you had, I would take that over one of these. Like I think that looked more beautiful than this. It just something about the Huayra Roadster doesn't do it for me. And I think also it has something to do with the doors. The doors are so boring. I want these awesome exotics. I want these awesome exotics and hypers and supers. I want I want the Doors doing something fucking cool to make it look like a superhero.
What about you? I gotta tell you something. Above 150, maybe 200,000, the Doors gotta be special on the car.
I know. Then the more we drive cars, the more we realize that now.
Come on, at 200 grand, give me something. Give me special doors.
Like that's where McLaren does it.
Whatever you think about these doors, you want to show up with a door going.
Always.
Want that. You don't want that. That's how you arrive.
And I think that's why I like your wire so much.
The coupe, the Goldwing. This is what we were talking about in the last one. I said the Roadster's going to come out. It's going to be expensive. Boom. And then the coupes are going to take a little hit. But then people are just going to dump those Roadsters. Unless they're mechanically soundproof. Does that make sense? If there's a humongous difference between the coupe and the Roadster as far as like technology and mechanics go, then no problem. Yeah. But if there's like they're comparable, I think those Roadsters are going to be dumped and people are going to go back and buy them.
I think so too. And I hate to be that guy. I hate to shit on the parade because like there are a lot of people that love this car. But
I love it myself. I think that Roadster is the most beautiful car I've ever seen. I truly fucking love it. When he comes out with a BC edition of that one, that's going to be so fucking fire. But again, it's just something to look at. It's something to enjoy. It's just an experience. That's it. That's great. That's for the people that want to have that.
Yeah.
Listen, when you have like a Bugatti, you have a LaFerrari, you have a P1 and a 918, you're going to buy a Huayra because you want to have the most beautiful design out there in the world, period. No, you will.
I guess that's
and
all.
You're not, and if it doesn't work like for whatever reason, the battery ran out, whatever the fuck you wanted this excuse to be, and it's not as fast as the others, it doesn't matter. You're going to take it out that one day to cruise on because they're actually comfy.
Yeah, I guess it's also just a matter of preference. What?
No, of course. What do you like? You're not right or wrong. Yeah, you know? it's just what we're saying.
It doesn't do it for me. Like I was a bigger fan.
Yeah.
Of the Koenigsegg Griffin that came out.
Yeah.
Than I was this. I just like the circumstances of that car.
Yeah.
I know. I get it too. But I think the specs and the designs that they're putting out on Koenigsegg to me. I prefer those over what are being put out on the Paganis.
Well, that's the thing about Pagani. When Koenigsegg arrived and they said, all right, we're here, and they started saying, like, you know what? We're also going to do the whole carbon fiber thing. We're going to do with the same, like, not with the same, like, their own shit that it's kind of like the same. Then what's Pagani left with?
Yeah.
The design alone, that's it. And Koenigsegg's coming in and saying, you know what? We might not be the fastest 0-60. We might not be the fastest on the track, but we'll put up the most insane numbers. So that's where Koenigsegg's coming in. And they're like, they can do what Pagani can now, right? Like, it's a completely different thing. Whereas before, Pagani was like design, beauty with a naturally aspirated engine. Koenigsegg came in. They did their own thing with crazy engineering. They gain a lot of fans because a lot of kids that love engineering, that really love cars, love Koenigsegg. Yep. And Christian von Koenigsegg is a fucking genius. I mean, what he does is out of this world.
Yep.
But now Koenigsegg has access to those materials. Now the Koenigsegg can look as crazy as a Pagani. So now what's Pagani left with?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And still, to me, Pagani's design is way, way crazier than anything else out there. Aside from maybe Lamborghini.
Yeah,
let's face Lamborghini's fucking on fire right now.
They do have the unique look.
Literally, by the way, excuse me. Do you mean literally or figuratively?
Both. Both.
But before we make that transition to Lamborghini, I want to talk like this last little bit about Koenigsegg. The reason they're getting into the design, and they also like you said, they're spending time like trying to put out the fastest performance numbers. Is because they also want to take what they're creating, what they're engineering, and sell it out to other people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you already see that now with Spyker. I mean, the C8 Preliator is going to have a Koenigsegg engine in it.
How is that possible? When we were there, we were in Monterey, we were talking to those guys. They were like, oh, it's going to be a V12, and it's going to sound beautiful. And then you go with a V8, it's going to be supercharged V8, I'm assuming, because that's what Koenigsegg engines are. What? You were giving us like a fucking smooth experience and all this shit. Now you're giving me a Koenigsegg engine for what?
Yeah, that is exactly how they pitched it. It was almost like it was this new style design Aston Martin, classy like gentleman, go cruise the coast and enjoy all the experiences of the car. And now it's like,
it was like a Pagani Aston treatment, if you will. They were like, basically build your own Aston-like type of car with a V12 and all those delicious goodies of like Thoroughbred, and they were gonna do a manual and everything. And he goes, did you know, Pedro actually told me, he goes, did you know that Koenigsegg is putting a Koenigsegg's putting the engine on the new car that they're building. I said, there's no fucking way. And I just read it and I couldn't believe it still. Yeah. So what, do you know what the synergy's like or why and why they went that route?
Yeah, it's very simple.
I mean, again, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's very simple. They gave him some money, he gave him some engines, and that's that.
But why?
It's cheaper. Know, here's the thing. I think that Christian von Koenigsegg is, and I'm just going to call him Christian from now on. Christian von Koenigsegg is...
You failed already.
You just said right.
I think it's just so easy to say Christian von Koenigsegg. It is. Christian is a master at networking and playing the whole car field and congratulating other car makers on doing well and like really promoting the industry. I really get that from him. You see him showing face at every single booth in Geneva. Like, I've seen so many pictures of him just around and with other cars. He's networking within this industry to make his job easier. He's wanting to collaborate with other people to build, and I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing a little bit of Spyker influence in some of the designs and the interiors of their cars moving forward.
But I can see it the other way around. I can see Koenigsegg saying, hey, Spyker, you create some fucking crazy looking cars. At least back in the day, they had like the those Spykers that open up and all the shit, right? The C8, one of them was called, I think, or 8C, whatever. Fucking incredible looking car for the time it came out.
Remember the shifter?
Yeah, oh, insane. But
The exposed shifter. Yeah. They still have that in the new C8. No,
that's why we liked it so much. And again, to me, the weird surprise comes from what they wanted, what Spyker wanted to build with that car, and where now they're going with car. And this shows you, like, I'm speaking blindly. I don't know if for a fact they're going to go with a V8 supercharged that's going to produce a fucking incredible amount of horsepower and they're only going to be available in automatic. But before they were offering you an experience, they were like, here's your classy Aston Martin with a manual. And now we're here in, here's your Koenigsegg engine. Go do this thing. What the?
My question for you, why do you give a shit if it's a Koenigsegg engine? I'm just curious. You're pissed that the V12's not in it?
No.
So what do you give a shit? Why do you care?
The reason why I care and the reason why it like fucks with my head is you see clearly that manufacturers themselves are like, I don't know what the fucking... I don't know what this car will be. Like,
They were literally selling the car. They were selling the car and to prospective buyers as a V12.
So they gave
GT
you a
Cruiser.
Vision of what it's supposed to be, and it didn't quite come out that way when they revealed the car.
Well, this is now, they're going in a completely different direction. If you're going, again, if they're V8 supercharged.
Got it.
Completely different direction that their pitch. If I was at that point, and I was with a friend there in Monterey that he was showing me his car because he spec'd one. If I was there and they were like, why don't you get one? I was like, yeah, let's see, because, you know, it's a manual, it's cool. I was trying to get a Zagato in the manual and Aston Martin said no. So I said, maybe this is my option. That's going to be that. What if at that point I would have been like, you know what, here's my deposit. And then I hear about the Koenigsegg engine. Again, this is only an upgrade. Don't get me wrong. That's an insanely awesome fucking thing to have. But that's not the car that I was buying if I would have been buying it.
Of course. Okay, well, can I ask you this?
That's what?
What if it had AMG floor mats?
That's it. I'll take it.
I'm being serious.
That eliminates all the complaints. Okay. That eliminates all the complaints.
You know what? Speaking of AMG, I mean, there was a little like private preview of the AMG hypercar.
Oh, yes. I'm so jealous that I couldn't go.
Do you know much about it? Because I don't.
Yes. They talked about it. And this is one of the things that what we started with. The AMG boss, the man behind this car said, listen, we're not here to promise you top speed. We're not here to promise you the craziest fucking speed in the world. We're here to promise you that you'll have F1-like technology and an experience F1-like for this car. And you're going to be able to use it just by getting in and starting it with your start
daily,
button.
It's an F1 you can daily.
It's an F1 you can daily. And how fucking badass is that? And hang on. There's so many things and components in here that don't make sense to us, right? We were talking about the engine, a 1.6 liter engine.
I just read somewhere. I don't know if this is fact. I just so you know, I read from some guy who seemed like he knew what he
that's
was talking
what,
about.
But that's the rumor around it. That it's going to be a 1.6 liter engine.
Yep.
A four-cylinder.
It revs to 11,000.
It revs to 11,000 and idle
is... Idle's at 1250.
1250 idle.
Can we demonstrate what idle at 1250 means? Like, the moment you start the car, it's going to be like...
No, because normally when you start a regular car, it goes like...
And then it comes down?
And then it comes down. Yeah. This is going to start...
Do you know who's going to love this? Your new neighbors.
Oh,
man, oh, man, the new neighbors are going to love when...
They're going to love the hybrid.
Put 11,000 RPM. And then, by the way, you're like...
And hang
you're
on.
Going 11 miles an hour. So this, like, I can't do anything.
This is what we're talking about. What kind of sound is going to come out of that car?
So this is what I asked you, right? Last night, I said, do you think... Oh, actually, you asked Pedro, right? That was your question. Pedro asked, are we going to get... The pop, pop, pops, the AMG sound from this car, or are we going to get the Formula One
kind of I don't know what the shit we're going to get. And that's incredible. To me, the goal and the statement from the Mercedes boss is exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
We're building you a fucking hypercar, a car that will blow your mind, that everyone can use start of a like with a start with a fucking single use of a button.
Yeah.
That's insane. I love that. I love that he's going and he knows what he's building and what he's giving you. 275 cars are rumored to be made. That's
275?
It. 275.
Wow. And you're getting one?
Fingers crossed. If nothing weird happens, fingers crossed and no one jinxes it. Don't be an asshole, everyone out there.
After being in the GT, I know they're not the same thing, but I'm like, wow, imagine what these
Can you imagine?
People,
yeah.
Imagine what these people are going to make.
But if that's what the Mercedes guys say, if the guys at Mercedes are saying, we're going to give you one of those experiences for the street that's going to be easy to drive. Imagine the F1 like pop-pops that you're going to get.
But we don't know.
At 11 miles an hour.
Yeah. I hope they don't fuck up the sound. Please, AMG, don't mess this up.
I don't think AMG can fuck up the sound. Do you not remember how they introduced the AMG GTS? When they downgraded the engine and it was like a small four... Yeah. And by the way, the 4-liter V8 twin turbo engines are like on fire right now. But anyways...
Incredible.
When they announced that, everyone goes, wait, it's not going to be a 6.2? It's not going to be a 5.5?
Right.
You're going to go 4? What the fuck? And then AMG responded with, this is the first thing we're going to show you. And it was just a video with the sound of the car.
Right.
Do you remember? Yeah, and you could play it on the website. And you were like, wow, it's going to sound that great. And the fucking car does sound that great.
It does. It does.
So I would not worry about AMG bringing the pop-ups to the table.
Your next two Mercedes that are coming are just going to be incredible. I cannot wait.
Yeah,
I haven't been this excited about cars in a very long time.
The AMG GTR for sure.
Yeah, I haven't been this excited.
Sure. Yeah, and they've been putting it to sleep. By the way, so here's an update on that. They said end of April. They said end of April. I'm trying to see if we can fly the car here so we can get it.
I don't think that car flies.
We might have to take Iron Man and just...
We can make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Vic can do it.
70 grand.
It's not going to be 70 grand. This is way more than 70 grand, guys. Way more.
What's another car you were excited about?
The other car that I'm excited about, and it's not even because of the car itself, it's because of the name that we actually know now. Like, the Nebula that name just did not fit. Like, it was cool, and we're like, oh, yeah, Nebula. Oh,
in Spanish, hang on. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. In Spanish, that sounds so fucking cool.
What does it sound like?
Nebula? Nebula.
Nebula.
Nebula. Oh. Nebula. Yeah. Oh, dude, that's badass as fuck.
That's not the official name. I don't even know where that name came from, and I think that we need to look into, like, how that even came out.
That was the code name from, that was 100% code names that they had at Aston Martin.
Yeah, but they had the AMRB-001.
Yeah, but...
That's like the SKU number for a t-shirt.
Do not look it up at Shop Salamandra, please. Do not look that up right now. Go ahead.
But now they have this official name, the Valkyrie. Are you kidding
That's
me?
That's badass as fuck. War. Awesome.
Some sort of jet, something with a jet. We asked, and someone on the live...
Someone told us that he had something to do with a plane.
Some supersonic jet or something.
I have no idea.
But it's a war. It's a war thing. I love that they went in that direction. Yeah. Oh. That's a fucking strong name.
Yeah. It's really
good. I can't
wait
till we put that Valkyrie and the Mercedes Project One on a track, a street, whatever.
Whatever you want, baby.
At the same time, just together at the same time. Wow.
I think the concrete's just going to peel.
Wow.
With the car's just standing there.
They're going to have to change the time a little bit.
And let me tell you this.
The Mayans were right.
If those doors open like normal doors, I am going to be pissed off.
The Mercedes?
No, the Valkyrie.
No,
there's no way they possibly can. Yeah. But if
hang
they
on a
do,
second, don't say that.
That's exactly why I'm saying it.
Don't
if
say
they
that.
Do, I am going to be furious.
Can you imagine the engineers actually have traditional doors? They're listening to this right now, and they're all just looking at each other. crumpling all the plans.
I hope so. Because I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start flipping cars.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like you. I'm talking about like flipping the smart car.
Oh.
I'm gonna start throwing.
And by
shit.
The way, everyone has seen Pedro can lift and do reps on a smart car.
So yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then hang on, I was reading the comments on that video too, and it says Alejandro and Farshad are weak. Like a couple of people were saying that. I'm like, why are they saying we're weak? Like.
Because we are.
Hang on. I'm like, but what's triggering that right now? Like,
right.
More than ever.
Yeah.
Like, more than ever. And then I see this motherfucker on the meeting.
Right.
Like, oh, that, yeah, right. No shit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, compare us to Pedro. Why don't you compare yourself to him?
Yeah, exactly.
They did say the Valkyrie is going to be lightweight.
Oh, 1,000 kilos. Same thing with the Mercedes hypercar, dude. 1,000 kilos.
And the Mercedes door better.
I can't lift that.
No, no one can.
I can't lift that.
No. It's a ton.
We have some time.
Yeah, we have some time.
He bulks up.
We're gonna prep you up for that.
Okay. Can you imagine?
So for the Valkyrie, still, what is the thing that excites you the most about that fucking thing?
It's just the design, man. Like, it is just...
Never seen anything like that.
No, before. Like, it's beautiful. It really does look like something that the wind created.
Yeah.
Like, if you put a blob of clay right there in the middle and just let the wind take care of it,
mm-hmm.
that's what would end up coming out of it.
I totally agree. And I've never seen anything like that before, which is why.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Farghini?
I think the most impressive thing about that car is we're in a day and age that we have the technology to finally have cup holders that will properly hold Red Bull. Like, custom made, like, it's specific, like, it's a partnership with Red Bull. You can't fuck this one up.
You cannot fuck
this one up. And I've seen people send me videos of BMW couple. It's still like this. I'm talking about, like, I don't think it's a little thing. It's going to just go in.
It's not the same. It's not the same if somebody accidentally created small cup holders. Because back then, people were furious and pissed off because their Route 44 drink couldn't fit
right,
in it.
Yeah, they weren't made. It was a coincidence.
But
Red Bull has
their hand in here. Red Bull has their hand in the creation of this cup holder.
They sent an engineer. Red Bull sent an engineer over to Aston to work on the cup holder. Do you understand?
I really hope they did.
That was my favorite thing.
Because if they show up with that, I'll be like, these motherfuckers are ballers. I understand that you're taking your job seriously and you're making the fastest car. But if you add that in there,
By the way,
those guys are funny, but don't fuck with them.
Exactly. By the way, the engineers are still listening out. Now they're like, okay, let's start.
Have we seen any interior renderings of this car, of the Valkyrie yet?
No.
I don't think we have either.
No.
Not even
there's
sketches?
Nothing.
The first
nothing.
Interior rendering better have a Red Bull can in there.
Oh my God.
Nothing.
Well, hey, let's make a bet. Let's make a bet.
But this is what we'll do.
We'll
add it right away.
Wait.
The moment you see it,
yes.
You need to grab it and make it a task of yours.
Done.
To add the Red Bull thing.
Should we add a live poll tweet right now?
Add it as we go.
Okay.
And while you do that, let me jump into another car.
Okay.
So just
actually,
add
can't
that.
Do this right now.
Perfect.
So was there any other cars that you were excited about?
Dude, the fucking GT3, the new GT3, the 991.2 came out with a manual and a fucking PDK
and no fucking turbos.
No naturally aspirated flat six engine, and it's a different engine from the one
and
in the RS.
And it's
500 horsepower, a lot of torque.
What was the displacement on that? On this one?
It's a 4-liter engine, but it's a different engine.
Wow.
Than the one in the RS and the one in the R.
Got
so
it.
And now everyone is saying, "Oh well, Porsche just fucked all of the R owners with it." Ha ha ha. Dude, on paper, you cannot measure a car on paper. Right. It's retarded. It's ridiculous. You cannot just look at both and say they both have 500 horsepower. They both have a 6-speed manual. That R is extremely raw. Extremely raw. And we know that. We drove the RS compared to the R. And you can't compare them. You cannot. Even though the RS is a fucking machine, the R is a completely different. The R feels just like driving a 4.0 in a modern version, but equally as raw. It's fucking perfection. For those people that like that.
It is really exciting, though. We knew a refresher was coming out. We knew a GT3 refresher was coming out.
With a manual and a PDK, yeah.
But we didn't know to what extent. We didn't know what kind of changes that they were going to make, or if any, just other than upgrading it. You know, like, this is a big deal.
Dude, the 0.2 versions of these fucking cars are insane. The turbo.
Without the turbo.
No. The for real, but the turbo.
Yeah, the turbo.
Okay. Yeah, the turbo turbo.
Okay.
With the turbo S.
Yeah.
991.2. That's supposed to be, and everyone that has one, and everyone that's driven one, because I haven't had a chance yet, say that it's the most crazy, ludicrous, fucking insane car ever. I'm dying to get like
it's creeping up to 918 numbers. These cars, no, 0 to 60.
It's getting really, really quick.
We're gonna get there really quick. Yeah.
And I'm really fucking excited about GT3. I ordered one already. I think I'm gonna be able to get it in the color that I want and everything. And then we'll see what color that is.
And
you better not mess that up.
I'm not. And I'm getting it in a manual.
And,
don't worry about
and
it.
And you might.
And I'm okay. I'm getting it out automatic.
And you might European delivery.
Oh no, no, no.
You might.
No. If everything goes well, we'll European deliver it.
With the thing we're working on.
Yes. We'll European deliver it. That's right. Fuck yeah. We said it. We said it. We have to do it. Next Porsche.
It's also verbal.
It's verbal. Fuck. So 911R. Am I missing any other cars?
Absolutely. Anyone? Absolutely.
Which one?
The Ferrari 812 Superfast.
Oh, you fucking Ferrari collector, dude. That is an awesome car. And this... Hang on a second. Please tell me your feelings about the Superfast.
My thing... is I wasn't excited about it.
Yeah.
I was not excited about it. I was disappointed in the name choices. I was disappointed in kind of the way that the renderings looked when they first released it. But every single day since I've seen it at Geneva, since they released the pictures of it on the showroom floor, I've grown to love it more and more every day. I don't know why. It's just a car that's kind of growing on me. I'm not in love with it. But I'm falling for it right
now. And what did I tell you before?
You said wait till you see it in person.
You said wait till you see it. I promise you the day you see it in person, you're gonna shit yourself. Like Ferrari does this every time with that model, dude.
Like they got beautiful lines here. There's a air intake right here in the front.
Yeah, but you see how small it is? McLaren went all out and they fucking just took that out. That's how badass McLaren is, that's why. But anyways, that's fucking awesome. That does look like a Viper from here.
Can I give my 2 cents?
Yes.
Not only does it look like a Viper, it also looks like a Corvette. Even Ivan said this looks like a Corvette. But I'm not shitting on it.
No.
That is Viper-esque. Like crazy.
We said that from the beginning, or at least I said that. Yeah. I thought it looked like a Corvette.
I thought so too. But
I just...
I'm
not going to get into it.
But are you a fan of the F12, for example?
The F12...
The regular one, the one that's out right now. The TDF F12. Without the TDF.
It's good looking. Yeah, it's okay. It's good looking.
This is going to be better looking.
I don't think so.
I promise you. The F12 also kind of looks like that from that angle.
Here's the thing. Farshot, I've grown to know this about Farshot. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters about the experience to Farshot.
Yeah.
And how it feels inside this. So it's kind of hard to get Farshot's judgment on a car when you can't get
it. And on this one, let me tell you this. And on this one, you're not going to get all the pop-ups. You're not going to get like... You get a high revving engine that you need to like work to get like the sounds and like downshifting are great. But you're going to get a comfy ride. It's one of the greatest GTs. Super comfy.
You know what I'm going to go... You know what I'm going to try it when they add a turbo to it. That's when I'll go in. Because it'll be nice and quiet and smooth.
Anything? No, but now like they make those because of the V12 and how they make the V12s sound.
Right.
They sound good at low speeds, but not that great. Like what you want out of V12 is to make it like really scream, go high on the RPMs. Right. And you're not going to do that in the city with that.
Please correct me if I'm wrong because I think that I am, but I'm going to go for it anyways. But is this the last V12 that they're going to be doing?
Maybe not the last V12, but that should be the last naturally aspirated V12 of the line. I'm not just saying the super fast. I'm saying the TDF of the super fast.
Yeah,
if you will.
Of course.
Why are you saying that? Do you know info or do you think?
A.
Oh, okay.
A.
Okay. But it's not gonna be turbos. It might be like a KERS. Like
we don't know. We don't know anything about that.
Okay. But this give me a wink if you really know.
Let me tell you this. This might be the last one of those.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So from an investment point of view, that's a very intelligent purchase right now.
Yes, and if you own an F12, dump it.
Yeah.
Dump it right now. If you own a TDF, just for the
special... So on the verge of depreciation.
And the F12 already got it, if you will. I mean, shit, at this point, the F12 is just... It's just going to like bend over and just let it have it. It's just going to let you have it, period. But... It is the fucking name of the show, you know? It's the name of the show.
Interesting. I want to ask this really quick because on the verge of depreciation, we had a a subscriber actually asked this. Said, you guys do on the depreciation all the time.
Yeah.
You talk about cars that are about to take a dive.
Yeah.
But what cars have taken a dive, but you need to get your hands on them now because they may be on the verge of appreciation and they're going to start shooting back up. Do you have any idea what kind of car you would get your hands on right now?
Yes, I just talked about one, but I guess I was so high or at some point I lost it. Do you remember which one it was? We were talking about it now. The NSX is a weird case study right now because it's just like the i8. Everyone that bought one bought it to flip it. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone. I don't fucking care what anyone says. There's like three or four guys that were like, ah, fuck. I really bought this car because I wanted it. The rest were like, I'm going to make $100,000 flipping this shit.
We heard a story about a guy who bought four.
Oh, remember yeah. Some dude bought four at Sticker and he thought he got a great
four.
Deal.
Yeah, four.
And he wouldn't let him go
under
like 30 over or whatever it was. Now, I bet that dude's fucking hitting the pavement, the concrete.
That guy is learning about how to deduct depreciation from a sale of a car.
Oh, yeah. So the NSX went down hard right now, right? So you see a few advertised 170, 160. We've gotten offers. And this is my bad, and this is the only reason why we haven't gotten one. It's because I was too lazy to reply to everyone. I need to get Evan, some help from Evan and the dealership, honestly, to just close the deal. But we got a few under 140.
Oof!
Under $140,000, dude.
Wow.
You know what that means. And I understand, and listen, guys, it's not normal. You're not going to go to your dealer and they're going to tell you, yeah, that's right. They're not. We obviously, because of social media, have access
to deals.
We have access to way more people, way more offers. And once you leverage those offers, you weave everything and you get to the bottom line prices. I think this car still has some room to depreciate because there's still people.
Wow.
There's still a lot of people holding these that think that they'll get 250.
Yeah.
They'll get 220.
Can I tell you what number just flashed in my eye?
What?
I'll tell you, 120. Literally just 120. Flashed in my
eye. Me too.
Saw the number.
120, that's a purchase.
Can I tell you something?
The moment I find one at 120, that's without thinking about it, you throw money at that.
That exact number popped in front of my eyes and I was sitting there calculating what I need to do because that may be a car that I would try my best to get my hands on, not even to flip, just for me to have as a daily, just fucking have fun.
Don't worry.
It's accurate. It's accurate. Like,
we'll get it through Evan, like along with mine.
Mm-hmm.
Finance it for 144 years.
4 years. Yeah.
And listen, I swear to God,
and I'll leave the rest of the financing in my will to my son.
No, you don't have to worry about it. You pay do the low payments for literally 2 years, and then you sell it, and you'll make money on that.
Yeah.
This is how money's made in cars. There you go.
There was the lesson of the
day. All right, guys. So we need two NSXs now, right?
We
need two NSXs.
I want one. I'm so sorry that I've been a dick tease and I haven't been able to do it. But now that we're more settled, things are happening. Now we got the Beetle coming. We know everything that's going on. We're kind of settled in the office. Things are happening. I'll spread the efforts too because I haven't asked Evan for help either.
I think we also, obviously we covered some of the disappointments and stuff that went on in Geneva, but was there anything else that at Geneva that just disappointed you?
I'll be honest with you. I don't anymore because I'm not focused anymore on bullshit about like time lapse and everything. I'm more focused on understanding cars because I did that while I was doing that. But to me, what took like the number one priority was lap times, even though I understood the car. And it was, all right, you're selling me on a fucking lie in this. And I was fighting that nonstop. It's just learning about cars. It's just feeling it, understanding why and to who this car is targeted towards. Does that make sense? I cannot be disappointed anymore because every single car in the cheesiest way possible is beautiful. You just got to find out how. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's nothing that, it's not like, I put a deposit on a wire. Forget about the wire. On a GT3, and the GT3 came out to be like an automatic four-cylinder. Like
it's like a bumble date, kind of. You see one thing, and then you go experience.
But that's when it's bad. Yeah. But right now it's not bad because I'm not expecting anything. Right. I just want to learn what they made. I just want to understand it. I want to know if they overvalued what they created or underappreciated what they created. I want to know that.
Right.
That to me, like finding out the value because of what the car is and to who it's targeted towards and like the gap money value proposition, right. Huge thing. That's so nothing will disappoint me now anymore, because I'll always be, unless someone overhypes a fucking car, right. Like a motherfucker. Yeah.
What about you, Farshad?
Just the overhyping and certain technologies that like will never come.
But that always happens. Yeah, every car show has that.
Every single.
I mean, I saw stuff that. And I heard technology. If really that technology exists, then it should be the government. Trump should be like, this should be in every single car, right?
They
like,
do it for everything, from tires to brakes. I mean, how many times have we talked about like the empty promises?
I was just about to say, again, every year it's, okay, we're going to do this, that. And the next year it's like, okay.
It's all concepts.
We're going to do...
Yeah, that's the problem.
But they're not pushing them as concepts. They're pushing them like, it'll do this.
I understand.
They should say, we're going to try to do this, and this.
Yeah.
There's thinkers and there's doers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big difference.
When they become a company and they work together and they make these things happen, it's like the
Aston Martin. Look at Rimac.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You have thinkers and doers that are coming together and creating amazing cars, and that black spec that Manhattan Motor Cars got.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. I know someone who knows someone who knows someone over there, so I'll ask.
We need to talk about that. What is it? And they're still looking for a West Coast dealer, so
Rimac Concept 1.
Massage some...
Rock a dealership. We could totally do a dealership.
Hey, mate. I'm not saying I can help you, but I can. And by help you, I mean please give me money. A car will do. A concept one will do, I guess.
So my biggest disappointment was that we didn't see the Urus on the floor.
I didn't think about that. Now,
that was a disappointment.
No,
there's no talk of it.
I think they're gonna reveal that in China. They're revealing that in Shanghai.
I think they're gonna do Pebble. They have nothing else for Pebble this year.
When I say I think they're doing it at Shanghai, it means that they are doing it at Shanghai, because I read something that said that they're doing it at Shanghai.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Was there a reasoning for Shanghai?
Because it comes before the production starts in April.
Production starts in April?
In April on the Urus.
Wait, April of this year?
April.
No. This is going to be incredible. What a year.
Seen pictures without the camo?
2017 is going to be an amazing year, right?
Fucking lit right now.
We're just going to be like in Lambo.
Dude, Lamborghini's turning around.
Project Ones and... Oh, man, this is going to be fun.
I think between now and 2020, it's going to be fucking epic, because the Chirons and all of those
cars are going to be the Rolls SUV. Oh, we have content and fun and money for days.
Right? Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. The twin turbo V8 plug-in hybrid Lamborghini Urus will begin production in April.
Plug-in hybrid. Wow. Hey, I'm stunned. I'm dying to see this fucking thing.
Oh, it's not a V12?
No, I heard it was going to be also $300,000.
That's not bad.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm disappointed we didn't see that on the showroom floor.
Me too, that you say that.
Well... I knew back in early February that it was starting production in April, and I actually said this on a previous podcast, but I'll side with your memory on this one.
Go ahead.
But I was assuming that because the production was starting in April, that it was going to be on the showroom floor. The showroom floor.
You're
I thought it was
going
to be right in the center of the everything that's going on.
We actually talked about this.
Yeah.
We said it's going to be right there.
I'm disappointed that they didn't have it out there, but I do get why. They were really boasting and bragging about their
lap time
record, which we'll talk about on next week's podcast when some more information starts to come to light, because we know like the thread on the sweater is starting to pull away and get tattered.
Yeah.
So I want to wait to see what happens with that before we get into it. But I was disappointed that the Urus wasn't there. And the other thing I was disappointed about is that everybody got amazing weather in Geneva this year, and we had shit last year.
When we actually went there and drove some cars.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. Good for us.
Would you get an Urus?
Huh?
Would you get an Urus?
Yeah,
Under what circumstances would you get an Urus?
If it's fucking good.
Tell me what good means to you.
Like a GLE on steroids. Period. If that's a GLE on steroids,
hold on. We're gonna go. They're gonna give us the key. We're gonna sit in, right? You're gonna turn it on. That's gonna be the first reaction is how it turns on. We're gonna go a couple blocks and then come back, and you're gonna make the decision
if I'll buy it or not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I gotta speed this up because we have a reservation. We have a reservation for dinner. Farshad.
Yes.
You've been doing some heavy research.
Yes.
Right. A lot of research and development and. You know, in this car world, it takes a lot of R&D to get things right.
Of course.
You've been working on some headlines.
Yes, absolutely.
You spent like 20 minutes working on them.
But can I tell you something? Yeah. I really put time and effort into these.
You did?
You did. He's ready.
I did. They're structured.
You have index cards?
That's what I'm saying.
What is going on
fucking
here?
Fucking ready like
they're
never
they're
before.
Structured. And that, by the way, I used to be like, why do writers, like, people write jokes down. I'm like, what the fuck? It's in your mind. I'm like,
All right. Well, let's
introduce Farshad's headlines. Okay.
Cadillac XT4 is the official name for the brand's new crossover, which will slot below the XT5.
That's pretty amazing.
No one gives a shit. Just make more Escalades. Make different versions of the Escalade. Give me a fucking Escalade coupe. Give me a Landaulet Escalade. Give me an Escalade fucking
whatever. They were kind of there back in the day, no?
Just so you know, Cadillac right now is thinking of making Escalade its own brand. Because when you think of Cadillac, tell me what you think.
Escalade immediately. Nothing else.
I'm immediately figuring out what kind of driver I'm going to have for my Escalade.
Yeah. But I did this joke to Ivan. And he's like, oh, man. He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't even know anything about Cadillac. He goes, I don't know one other product from the Escalade. Stop fucking around. No one needs an XT5. Just make more fucking Escalade. Make a smaller Escalade. Make a bigger Escalade. Come on. Okay. Here we go.
That's good.
Okay. I hope you guys know that Porsche just threw that index card.
He was really mad.
Okay. Mystery Honda spy picture might preview a new sub NSX Roadster.
Holy shit.
Okay. Acura was so successful with the performance of the NSX's depreciation that they decided to pass down the technology to the sub-brand.
Of the depreciation.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Holy shit.
They went from 220 to 120. This thing is going to be what? This thing's going to be like 70 to 40, right?
It's going to be like the fastest 100 to 40.
Honestly, you know me. I don't know much about business. I don't think this is a good business case, but that's just me. That's just me. I'm not positive, okay? And that's your Acura for you. Okay, here we go.
Great Honda news. Okay. Honda's really making a splash.
Rolls-Royce Cullinan. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
The new SUV that's coming out. Okay?
Don't ask the Mexican.
The Rolls-Royce Cullinan would make Queen Elizabeth proud.
I bet
this
would.
Is the promise from the designer.
That's incredible.
Okay. when they took the car to the Queen, she came out and said, "Who are you? Why are you here? And who am I?"
That sounds about right. Okay, so you're saying is she really enjoyed it.
Yes.
<Ab-a-dooch.
laughs> There we go. Okay. Mercedes-Benz says there's no business case for the X-Class pickup truck in the U.S. Alejandro, is this the case?
Is this the case? You're going with the Mexican joke.
Who else buys trucks? Is this the case? Tell us if this is the case. Do you not need one of these? You personally looked me in the eye and said, "Farshad, I need one of these."
Mercedes is wrong. Mercedes is wrong. We do need it.
Who does that quote come from? Who's quoting that? Just Mercedes. The Mercedes PR?
Yeah, the Mercedes
There is a need, guys, and I'm not going to say who needs it, but we do need it.
By the way, I don't want to sound racist, but there is a Toyota pickup truck, and you guys know what I'm talking about. The older ones that like every like
landscaping
Garner,
company.
Do you know what I'm talking about? A Tacoma.
Below those. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like that the line? small old one, dude, super thin.
That are still running today. Just take those badges, put them on the Mercedes, like do a co version of that with Toyota. I promise you the Hispanic community will buy it. I promise you. And if this is too racist, cut it out.
I'll be the first one.
Okay. The last one. There's no zingers to this. This is what I liked from the show. Okay. The AMG GT concept, the four-door version of the AMG GT. I am madly in love with that car after driving the GT. Uh-huh. And I just learned not only does it have the same 4-liter twin turbo V8, it also has a battery in the back, putting out 805 horsepower all-wheel drive.
So it's going to be like a fucking Panamera
turbo. It has torque vectoring all-wheel drive. Okay. Now, I have no idea what that is. And when I order mine, I'm going to see if I can get it without it. That's I don't incredible. Need it. I don't need the vector.
No, you need it. You
I
need
don't need
it.
The, you I need swear it. I don't need the vector.
I promise.
That car is going to have zero pop-pops. He's going to hate this car.
No, my friend.
No, this the 918 had pop-ups.
Yeah. And also, you can go full electric.
They're hybrids.
You can go full electric. You can drive full electric.
They're hybrids.
It's a hybrid. Zero to 60.
They're not only hybrids, they're assisting hybrids. Like those.
Got it.
This is going to be a power monster. Assisting. Four doors, this is going to be an absolute monster.
Yep, I agree with you. At first, I was very skeptical, and I said, why the fuck is Mercedes going to do that? It makes all the sense in the
world. And everyone's like, oh, there's already a CLS.
No,
this is a GT with four doors. That's a different car. Yeah. It's an absolutely different car.
Listen, what's happening here is Mercedes is wanting to get into the camera car business.
They're wanting to compete with the Porsche Panamera camera car. Listen.
So now they're coming out with
all our jokes come true, right?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Not only is this a joke, but we actually need it, and we actually may be able to get one. That's the crazy part, right? Right?
At some point, we might.
Right?
At some point, we might. Excellent. Is that it?
That's all for me.
That's all for Farshad.
And I put a lot of time and effort into Farshad, these things for you guys.
Thank you, Farshad. Those were great.
Well delivered. Well done, sir. I really enjoyed imagining you practicing in front of the mirror.
That'll be the new format.
I love it. Last thing I want to talk about before we go is you have a note right here, and I'm pointing at my penis, and I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
We both looked at it, too.
Yeah, God. Go on.
250 Bugatti Chirons were sold without deposits. First off, I don't know how that makes sense.
No, you can sell a car without a deposit. No, without test drives. I'm sorry. That was just my mental note while clearly I was not ready to send that email. The note is Bugatti sold 250 Chirons without a single test drive.
Wow.
Number one, I've seen a couple people that I know driving the car already. So I don't think that's true. Number two, 250 deposits are not 250 sold cars. Once you ask for the second deposit, the flippers are going to fucking...
By the way, if you missed out on a Chiron, your opportunity's coming real quick.
Right now, you're going to start hearing, I got slugged for a Chiron in 2018 delivery. Yeah. Late 2017, they're going to start, you're going to start hearing that. They're going to say, how much is the spot? 200. 100. I'll just give you the spot, man. Come on. And then Bugatti's going to be like, hey, we have new openings. Would you like to buy them?
Right.
That's going to be the way it's going to go. But it's not because of Bugatti. It's not because of anything. That's just the nature of how it happens.
So that's going to be a scandal. On the verge of depreciation.
Oh, man.
With an opportunity to buy. That's the car to go for.
No, that's not depreciation. And we got to see how much it oil changes. It all comes down to, do you agree?
100%. 100%. Okay. And also, the first Chirons are going to come here with a super incredible premium. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's all we have for today's show, guys. Thank you so much. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We don't use Snapchat. Subscribe to us on YouTube, and please subscribe to us on iTunes. That's where this podcast is going to live, breathe, and hopefully never die. More than likely it will.
But we don't need a dongle for the iPhone 8.
Exactly. Oh my God.
To listen to this.
Please.
Can you
please
imagine? Each podcaster has to sell their own dongle to listen to iPhone.
I feel like Farshad's going to move his way into the dongle business.
Oh, we talked about this last time too. Oh, for sure we're getting into the dongle business. There's no question.
Guys, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, or any questions that you want to send to us for the next episode, please feel free to send them to us. You can also send them to me at hitatpedro@gmail.com. Thanks again, guys. We're headed off to dinner. We love you. Thank you. See you later.
Peace.